You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which comes to you from the radio studios on the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you are a part of our congregation, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you today's Way of Truth broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of broadcasting your gospel, and we are praying that wherever our broadcast service is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. We are thankful for your love, not for a select few, but for everyone, for we know that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So bless this broadcast and bless our precious congregation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing the Lord's
Jesus taught many things by parables, and one of the most beautiful parables I think you'll find in his teachings is the parable about the lost sheep, how that the shepherd left the 99 in the fold, went out looking for that lost sheep, and when he found it, he did not kick it or mistreat it, but he picked it up and put him on his shoulder and brought him back to the sheepfold. A picture of God's love for sinners, and how that Jesus Christ is indeed seeking to save the lost. And if there be any in our congregation today who do not have Christ as their Savior, I would like for you to know and to realize that God loves you, that Jesus Christ died for you, and that you can be saved and be a child of God, a part of the family of God. Truly, this is the greatest blessing that you could ever know.
Whosoever heareth shall the sound, spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will send the proclamation of the real and healed. Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh, he not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over hill and hill. Tis a loving
Our subject for today's broadcast, repentance, and our text of scripture is Luke chapter 13, reading verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, I shall not treat the subject of repentance today from a doctrinal standpoint, since most, if not all, doubtless know that it is a doctrine of the Bible. I shall speak by the help of the Lord to bring to you some thoughts as to what repentance means. To repent is the first command of the gospel. Yes, to repent is the first command of the gospel. And it is a command. It's not a mere suggestion. It is a command. John, the forerunner of Christ, came saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. After Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, he went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he came out preaching the gospel. And he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. So we see that the Son of God came with the same message that John had brought. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the message did not stop there. Shortly before Jesus returned to the Father, he commissioned his disciples to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. And he told them that they should teach the people to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so one of the things they were to teach was that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, in Christ's name, among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we read in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. Now on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches repentance. He told them how they had crucified the Christ of glory, and how that God had raised him from the dead because the grave could not hold him. And he told them by their wicked hands that they had crucified the Christ of glory. And the Bible tells us that they were pricked in heart. And of course that means they were convicted. Peter was preaching under the anointing and power of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was conveying what he was saying to the hearts of those people. There was a multitude of people there. And the Spirit of God moved upon them, convicted them, and they were honest enough to confess the fact that, yes, we have done what you said we have done, Peter. And since we have, what shall we do about it? And the Apostle Peter told them to repent. Yes, Peter preached repentance. John came preaching repentance. Jesus came preaching repentance. And now Peter is preaching repentance. Paul preached repentance also. We read in the scriptures in the book of Acts how that Paul came into the city of Athens and his spirit was stirred within him as he saw the various altars to different gods and one even to the unknown God. And Paul took occasion to preach to them about the God that they did not know. He told them the God that they did not know was the one that had made the heavens and the earth and that he had created all things, and that they lived and moved in him, and that they should repent. For he said, this unknown God that's unknown to you has commanded all men everywhere to repent. At times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that command comes on down to us today. We find this, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We find that in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Now let us consider the reasons for repentance. We read in, again from the words of the Apostle Peter, this time in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Unless you repent, you cannot be converted. Again, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, convert or conversion means to turn. And in this instance, we're talking about turning away from sin, turning away from the servitude of the devil, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, unless you repent, you cannot be converted. Unless you are converted, your sins will not be blotted out. Again, for the third time, notice what the Apostle Peter said. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So unless you are converted, and of course you've got to repent to be converted, but unless you are converted, your sins will not be blotted out. But if you do repent and are converted, the sins, all of them that you have committed, are forgiven you. They are blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now another reason you should repent and be converted is because God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the one He has ordained, Jesus Christ. That's another truth that the Apostle Paul brought to the Athenians, as recorded in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Paul not only told them that God commanded them to repent, but he went on to tell them that God had appointed a day in which they would be judged. Yes, every one of us are going to be judged. Every one of us are going to have to give an account to God for the life that we have lived. And if we live in sin and die in sin, we will be placed on the left-hand side, and we'll hear Christ say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." But if we repent and are converted, our sins are blotted out, and we live the gospel, live the things that Jesus Christ taught His disciples to teach us, then we will hear Jesus say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What does it really mean to repent? It does not mean church joining. It does not mean being baptized in water. No, repentance carries with it the thought of sorrow for wrongdoing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. And let us notice different points in this passage of Scripture. For godly sorrow. Now, some people are sorry because their sins are found out. And if their sins were not uncovered and found out, they would go right on professing and do nothing about it. So some people are sorry because they're caught up with some little child that's facing a correction because of something he's done. And he begins to cry and he wants mommy or daddy to be lenient with him. And he's not necessarily crying because he's really sorry that he disobeyed, but he's sorry that he was caught up with and maybe going to be corrected in one way or another. So godly sorrow is a broken and a contrite heart on our part, and we're truly sorry that we have sinned against God. And many times we sin against our fellow man, and at other times we sin against our own self. But whether it's a sin against God, and all sins are against God, even if it is mistreating a brother or even mistreating yourself, it's still a sin against God. So godly sorrow is sorrow because we have wronged, done contrary to the word of God, and we have wronged God, and we've wronged our fellow man, or we've wronged ourselves. Now this godly sorrow worketh repentance. And repentance, again, carries with it the thought of being truly sorry for what we have done. And it worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. You don't have to repent over and over and over. Once you have truly repented with godly sorrow, and God has forgiven you, He has blotted your sins out. And He said He would wipe them out of His remembrance to remember them against us forever no more. This idea that you've got to repent every day and before you go to bed is not scriptural. Whenever you really and truly repent of your sins, God forgives you. Furthermore, we're told in the book of Micah that He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. He never throws them up to us anymore. And as the hymn writer has said, the devil cannot bring again the sins that the blood has washed away. So you don't have to keep repenting and repenting and repenting. Whenever God saves you, He saves you from sin. And He gives you the power and the grace that you need to live a life free from sin. Yeah, I know this is contrary to what most religious people believe and teach, but it's not contrary to what the Bible teaches. Awake to righteousness and sin not. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death are of obedience unto righteousness. Obeying the word of God produces a righteous and a godly life. Paul said in his letter to Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And so, repentance, godly sorrow, produces salvation. And salvation is deliverance, deliverance from sin. It also means turning away from all sin. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. So we read in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30. Let me repeat that. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Ezekiel 18 and 30. You cannot obtain salvation without quitting the sin business. Again, awake to righteousness and sin not. So the Apostle Paul wrote to Corinthians church, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Now, let me give you some examples of genuine repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Psalm 51, 1 through 3. That was David repenting of his sinful act with Bathsheba. And he said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions." Yes, whenever a sinner comes to the Lord, he must acknowledge his transgressions. And he said, "My sin is ever before me." And so he was seeking the Lord to forgive him of that terrible sinful act. Now we read in the little book of Jonah about how Jonah was sent to Nineveh, and his message was 40 more days, and God's going to destroy this city. But the message came to the king, and he ordered his people to start their fasting, and even he laid aside his kingly robes, got down in sackcloth and ashes, and they repented of their sins, and God forgave them, and he spared the city. Yes, God did not destroy them because of their act of repentance, their act of humility, as was shown by getting down in sackcloth and ashes. And so God spared them, and he did not destroy the city at that time. Now, the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, true sorrow for sins. For Jesus said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." People was finding fault because he had poured that precious ointment upon him. And Jesus gave him a lesson here. Who will forgive the most? And who will love the most? He that forgiveth little is forgiven little, or he that is forgiven much? And they said, "Well, we suppose he that is forgiven much." Well, this woman had been forgiven much. And she was showing her love and her appreciation for being forgiven by what she did. And Jesus said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Yes, whenever we confess our sins, we must believe that God forgives us. We must have faith in God and faith in his promises. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus said to this woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Now God has provided for us a know-so salvation. Now I know some people don't believe that you can really know, but God has provided for us a know-so salvation. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 5 and verse 24. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Yes, the Lord has provided a real experience of salvation for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever you repent of your sins and God forgives you, that burden of sin is gone. That load of sin is lifted. That guilt is gone. You're no longer guilty. You're no longer under the burden of sin. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Salvation, deliverance from sin, is indeed a wonderful and a marvelous experience. And I do not speak of self-righteousness. I speak of what the Lord has done for us through saving us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that you have provided for us through your great love and through the gift of your dear Son. And we're thankful that it is for whosoever will. So remember our congregation today. If there be some that are unsaved, may the Holy Spirit draw them to that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, that they might know pardon and know the joy of salvation. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another gospel broadcast with you. We do trust that the Word of God and the songs have been a blessing to your soul. If so, it would be a blessing to us if you would let us know. And our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can join us in our services. Our services are broadcast live over the Internet. Our morning worship service on Sunday begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6. So you can join us and be with us in our services if you'll go to our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
Oh,